Okay, so good morning, and thanks for coming in this Saturday morning. I know you're all tired from the walk yesterday and from the busy week. So today I'm going to present the Inkscape UI vision going forward. So my name is Enrique. I'm a UX designer. I've been working in the industry for the past almost 15 years. And I've been using Inkscape for almost 20 years now. So why now? Why proposing this type of work? So Blender released in 2019 the new 2.8 version with a lot of usability improvements, a lot of new features, bug fixes. But also, I think that one of the most polemic stuff that showed up in this version was the change from right-click select to left-click select, right? Which is, for those who aren't familiar, Blender used to have a very singular way of handling objects in the viewport, which differed from other software that all the other human beings use in their daily work, like clicking and dragging stuff. So then, this year, Gimp released version 3, Scribus released version 1.7. So I think there's a very good momentum in the open source community for a UX-led transformation. So for those of you who are not familiar, this is Inkscape. So this is what I've been using for the past 20 years, more or less. And it's super powerful. There's a lot of awesome features. But also, there wasn't a centralized vision on how to guide the UI and the UX work. So some of the items might feel a bit disjointed depending on your workflow. And just like Blender, we have a lot of powerful tools. We have advanced features. It's free of charge. It's open source. But at the same time, we have a lot of awesomeness hidden by some UI complexity. And it breaks users' mental models. So if you're coming from other softwares that are commonly used, when you come to Inkscape, you might find it difficult to use some of the tools and to do basic stuff. So again, looking at the UI, one thing that stands out is like, and it's very well documented, is the size of some of the panels. So the color picker panel, it takes, like if you see, probably this is like almost 30% of the screen width, right? So we have these issues happening in some other places. Like here you have the align and distribute panel. It is, I think, the most advanced align and distribute panel that is available in vector graphics editing, at least according to what I've seen. But at the same time, this power can increase complexity and might kind of frighten users. So when you launch something, maybe you just want to start working with it. We also have the live path effects that are also super powerful, but again, you can see some issues here. For example, screen real estate is not super well utilized. There is no clear reading order because of a lack of a grid system. So I started wondering, what if I could utilize some basic design principles, design heuristics, and gestalt principles to improve some of the panels, right? So some of the low-hanging fruits, as I mentioned, panels take too much screen space. There's a cognitive overload and lack of a grid system for the UI. So then I started playing with some panels. I just took screenshots and I started cutting them and rearranging according to those design principles. So here you have an align panel. Part of the work is removing the most complex stuff from the first step of the UI, the first layer of the UI. But then again, how does advanced users feel about it? Like, they're super productive. They use this stuff already, right? So it's kind of a challenging task. So here we have like a concept I created for the align panel. So you'll notice we have align, distribute, and rearrange, remove overlaps. And I started playing, like, what if I just split some of the parts of the panel into different tabs, right? Same thing for the path effect. So here I did nothing except utilizing a grid system based on Blender's grid system. So you have, and this is super polemic, I know, like having the text right aligned, but let's skip this for now. So I have like some clear reading orders. Everything that is editable or interactive is on the right side, and labels are on the left side. So I can follow a specific order when utilizing this. Same for power stroke. So I started experimenting with many different live path effects panels. There are positive sides to it, negative sides, but then I noticed, what am I doing? Like, this work also lacks a design direction. How does this granular work contribute to the big picture, right? I didn't want to propose a lot of scattered different suggestions, so it would like lose the cohesiveness of the design vision I wanted to propose. So then I started thinking about the role of the icons in the iconography. So a cohesive icon set could bring Inkscape's UI together and contribute for communicating a vision, a design vision for Inkscape. So it's a relatively small step to start with, like creating the icon set, because it's something you just do it and you put it on Inkscape's asset folders and it updates live, so you can see what's working, what's not working. But not as small, because Inkscape has actually 450 something icons. So if you start it, probably you should finish it. So then, this is how the Dash icon set was born. I spent a lot of time of my vacations and many nights a week doing a new family of icons. And then what I did, I shared it in the Inkscape community chat, right, in the UX channel. And I started asking for feedback and hoping that people would actually install it on their machines and see how they feel about it. So I iterated based on feedback. So Mike Kowalski, which one of Inkscape's developers, he started chatting with me and he started asking for stuff like, okay, we're going to release this new feature, this new panel, why don't you make this new icon? So I started iterating on it. People also complained about some of the icons being like copycats of other tools, and so I tried to make them more affinity-like. And now Dash is part of Inkscape. It's not the official icon set, but from version 1.4 later, you can go to the settings panel and change the icon set if you want to test it. So what's next? To design the icon set, I actually had some design principles in mind. It wasn't a matter of personal preferences. So I wanted to be welcoming to new users. So to reduce UI complexities, trying to adhere to industry standards. I know this is not very nice stuff to talk about, but if we want to welcome people that come from other software, being familiar to them reduces the learning curve. And that's what Blender did with changing some of the behaviors of their UI. I want also to reduce context switching, introduce some context-aware panels and tools so that you don't need to know how everything works to see real results in screen. But also, I wanted to be familiar to the seasoned users. I wanted to empower them. So every time we do some redesign work, we tend to hide complexity, and that's not good for productivity. Like, people know where their stuff are. They've been using the tool for like many years, as I am. So if you take it from them, it's also not good for the community. So I went back to my original design files and I started iterating on them based on these principles. How can I be more welcoming to new users and also keep stuff working for seasoned users? So I know the internet here is not great. It's loading a prototype, but I also came prepared. If this fails, I have other slides to show this. So I prepared a prototype showing what a new Inkscape UI could look like. So as I said, I'm a UX designer. I've been working for many years in the field. So because of that, some of the I can recognize usability problems and heuristics, but the solutions that I propose probably would be inside my own bias. So that's what's happened here. I introduced this properties panel in the right that shows the main... Yeah, this is a prototype, so it will break. So just bear with me. Anyway, so that's why I brought the pictures. So I introduced this new properties panel. There is a new life path effects panel with like how things could look like in a grid system. We have some other stuff like color panels on the right side to save some real estate here. In the objects panel, we have new color pickers that occupy less space. We have different, and in the same place, we have fill, stroke, and markers, which today they are like split. Thanks. And so what came out from this was more discussions, right? And I'm having trouble passing the slide because this thing caught my mouse. Just a second. Yeah, that's live demo, so you expect this stuff. Yeah, I'm just gonna launch it again. Okay, so here you have some comps with the proposed UI. So we have a more simplified layers panel. We have other stuff that I showed you, a gradient editor that is a little less crowded. We have new ways of opening panels here. I proposed a lot of stuff that is also like kind of scattered, right, across what Inkscape could look. And then, if you want to check, there's a video in YouTube where I go through this like for 20 minutes talking nonstop. But then I use this to ask feedback. I shared it in the Inkscape UX channel. Sure, yeah. Okay. I avoided posting the many different suggestions in GitLab at this moment because I wanted to keep the design vision cohesive, right? What I expected? I expected to start a conversation. Is it aligned with Inkscape's goals? Is the community interested? Like, I didn't want to look like somebody who's coming from outside. Like, I have a long story with Inkscape, but that doesn't matter if I'm not contributing to it, right? So I want to show that I was willing to work with the team to do real stuff. And great discussions in UX channel started. Mike called me. He said, yeah, we're super aligned. In fact, this object properties panel is something I'm working on right now. So we started exchanging. Like, he would show me screenshots of how things were working. I would send him new designs. We iterated on the color picker. So I really loved starting this type of collaboration. And also, Yotam, which is another Inkscape contributor, also called me and said, hey, why don't we start a UX initiative? So we have, Yotam is not here today, but we have Willy, who is there. And so Yotam, Willy, and I, we started having some weekly calls to discuss the UX quality initiative, right? So Yotam, leadership, Yotam and Willy, and then that's me as a UX designer. So the goals are mainly what I described before, onboarding new users, but also positioning Inkscape as a legitimate choice amongst other industry tools. Modernize and refine the interface, expose strengths through better UX, and increase community contributions. In other words, we want to bring more users so that we have a bigger community, and then people can contribute more with suggestions like this, and bug fixes, and everything you know about it. So the plan wasn't starting from scratch. We wanted to leverage existing knowledge from existing sources, like Willy conducted a Reddit poll asking people about Inkscape paper cuts and their pet peeves. There's also YouTube comments on the video I shared. Logos by Nick started a thread in YouTube, and which had a lot of comments. And there's lots of GitLab issues that we could look at. So Will is working on a qualitative analysis of the Reddit poll and on the YouTube discussions. But there's also, I started working on the GitLab UX issues. So there is a very long process. I'm not going to go into details today. The time is short. But what I did, I downloaded all the UX issues, and I started working with them in a spreadsheet app, and I started identifying some of the most recurring categories that on the UI that needed attention. So some of the UIs, dialogues are the most mentioned parts of the UI. Tools are the second ones. We have the issues with the canvas. We have text, LPs, layers, input methods, nodes, the node editing system, preferences, fill and stroke, and the list is actually longer, right? But these are the most prominent. And I also categorize some of these issues according to categories, right? So like dialogues, the most mentioned dialogue is layers. Second one is fill and stroke. Then we have export, LPs, which are live path effects, text and font, the welcome screen, document properties, and so on. The tools that were most mentioned, we have the text tool, the node tool, select tool, pages. And for the input part, shortcuts are one of the most mentioned. Probably we have bugs related to this, so there are limitations with this analysis. I try to leave bugs and performance and migration issues, but at the same time, there are like 1,500 issues to look at. So as next steps, and this is happening right now, we are discussing project funding for this, and we are also discussing scope and roadmap. This will also be open. We plan on having a website, a landing page to communicate project progress and to gather feedback and to recruit users for usability testing. I think I skipped a slide, but anyway, there's supposed to be something here about design system. So if the project goes well, we also expect to deliver some design documentation for future proofing. So having an open design system hosted maybe somewhere like in Penpot or other open design tool so that people can contribute. I'm talking about UI components, typography style. This, as for the guys who are familiar with this, this reduces implementation time. This improves improves project management and scalability. So we have designers and developers talking the same language. We have less granular adjustments because you have predefined tokens. So that would be one of the possible outputs of this project if successful. So join the discussion. This is the link to the Inkscape chat. You're very welcome to come and discuss this with us. Thank you.
Thank you. I think we are, maybe one quick question and then the next talk will start. Is there any question right away? One over here.
Just a very simple one, but like because there was exporting on there, is it on all systems that if you choose a file name that it always changes back the folder and so on? Like because this is something that would be, like I don't know if it's a bug or something, but it would be super nice if you could just put something in and then it would stay that way for the remainder or something.
I couldn't understand, sorry.
Like when you export stuff in Inkscape, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Then you can choose like the file name and the path and so on, and like it always switches back. And I'm kind of like, if I have to do like 17 or something, then it's really annoying and would be really helpful. Just a simple thing.
Yeah, that's a good one. We're planning to test with users a common workflow, like opening Inkscape for the first time, doing some basic editings in a canvas, like some basic shapes, colors, texts, and then exporting. So probably this type of stuff will come around. So if we include in the text something like, okay, now adjust it and do it again, then probably we'll have evidence that this is something that happens all the time.
Cool, looks like some new stuff is coming. Great. Then thank you for your talk.
Thank you.